Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Well, and I think one of the things that, you know, is when you hear that, I tell you, Earth, Wind, and Fire is good for your soul. We get you started. It's a little soul food to get you going towards your weekend on this Friday, so we can all use a little soul food, so we like that. But the other part of that, well, City Limits, what does it mean when we start with that song?
It means it's once again just you today, Paul.
Just me. Joe, have you heard from our boy? Is he still alive?
We heard from Joe last night.
Okay.
And the reports were not good.
Yes. I didn't know if we got an update this morning that maybe he's feeling a little bit better.
No further update. Joe yesterday basically told us it's not happening tomorrow either.
Right.
Feeling bad.
Right.
So get well, Joe. We should send him a card.
Well, again, I hope he feels better. I mean, I know he was feeling sick. I guess it's just kind of like a head cold or something that he's dealing with here.
I guess. Yeah, I don't think he knows exactly what it is or if it's been, like, diagnosed anything.
You know, the worst is when you have, like, a summer cold. Those are terrible, aren't they?
Yeah, I know, because it's, like, 80 degrees. You're like, how could I possibly be sick right now? The weather isn't really changing at all.
You can't breathe. You have a hard time breathing, and that's just, to me, that's what it looks like. It's like one of those things where, man, when you can't breathe, you're trying to get a little bit of air and everything else, and you can't make it work, and you're stuffed up and you're congested, and you just want to lay there with your head pounding.
There is not much more that I can't stand than being sick.
No.
Like I
No,
it's awful. It's an awful feeling, obviously. I mean, we're not telling any surprises there, but it's so uncomfortable, and I mean, that's why you got to try to take care of yourself every day, and I still seemingly find myself sick 3 times a year. God bless you, Paul. You can't get sick.
I don't know what's going on. I've been sneezing I think it's an allergy thing, but I've been sneezing for the last 24 hours. Off the top, presented by JP Roofing and Siding, here's a rundown of what we're going to talk about on today's show. Obviously, the Buccos. We've got a number of guests. Why don't you tell us who our guests are today?
Ray Fittipaldo will join us from Steelers camp at 11. It is Steeler night practice today from Latrobe, one of the biggest festivities of the whole entire summer, and especially of Steeler camp. 11:40, Dan Kingerski will join us. At noon, Kevin Gorman of the Trib, Pirates reporter, will join us, and Pirates broadcaster Bob Walk joins us at 1.
Well, I think that's a pretty full plate. So we're going to talk a lot of Bucco baseball. We're going to talk some Steelers, obviously. We'll keep a keen eye out on is tonight the night practice, though?
Yeah, tonight's night practice.
So there's not even a practice this morning, right?
Correct. Not until 7 o'clock.
Okay, so they can get it done.
Do you want to do an Olympic-themed Bechtold breakdown at 12:30?
Yeah, we can do that.
Let's do it.
Absolutely.
We didn't do one last week. Bring it back this week.
Right. That's the big thing, is that we are going to do everything in our power. We're going to do everything in our power to be entertaining, have a little bit of fun, and everything else. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them, southhillskia.net. The Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. And you can interact with the show all the time with the Fan text line, 412-928-9370, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. So here we go. Here we go. You know, there's been a lot of talk over the last two days or so about O'Neal Cruz. And I think one of the things about O'Neal Cruz that really makes it difficult for the Pirates is that you basically have to look at the fact that he's supposedly supposed to be their best, their best hitter, you know, their best player, their star. He obviously has the bat to be their best power hitter. He's a little bit of a unicorn. When he hits the ball, it goes 100 some miles an hour off his bat. He runs like a deer. So there's no chance you can take him out of your lineup. There's no chance that you can put him I don't even think you can put him at DH. I think he's the kind of player that has to be fully engaged in the game. I think he's the kind of player, if you put him at DH, he probably would lose a little interest. And that is the way we got to, you know, look at it. He's not going to want to do that. So you have to live with some of what he does. You have to live a little bit what he does in the field. Now, I know he makes a lot of errors. I know he makes some plays that are kind of foolish. I know every so often he throws, the ball errantly because he's throwing it 120 miles an hour or whatever it is. But I think that you have to live with everything he does. I don't think you can, sit here and basically come up with a better plan. I saw Pawnee was tweeting about how they should move, or I think Jordy Mercer was on their show yesterday saying they should move O'Neal Cruz to third and Cabrian Hayes to short. I can't think of a worse idea than that. For one thing, you make third base weaker. And I don't know. I mean, I'm assuming Cabrian Hayes could be a good shortstop, but I would be willing to bet that he would be not quite as good as he is at third. So I think you would make your defense weaker. I think the other thing about it is at least the balls that, get through at shortstop, there's somebody backing up. If people hit the ball down the line or whatever at third base, now we're talking extra bases. And I think that would be a horrible idea. I think that you basically have to live with this. You have to live with the fact that you're probably not going to have the best defensive shortstop in the league. And you got to just you hope that his bat offsets that. And I know that, that in the world of, hot take and all that other stuff, we have to do something, but I just don't think there's something that you can do. I just don't. I just don't think there's really much of anything that you can do. And I think that it's really going to be interesting to see how it plays out. But when your best player is struggling or your best player isn't playing well in one part of the game, you kind of have to live with it, don't you? I don't know. That's the way I look at it. I just feel like there's not much else you can do. You got to just hope he gets better at it, hope he gets more consistent at it. If he can just cut his errors down a little bit, you can live with some of the other stuff. Because, again, I really believe, I think his bat is going to offset everything that he does, everything that he's able to do. I mean, defensively, I think his bat will offset it. So if he's able to, you know, hit 30-plus home runs and drive in runs and, you know, steal some bases and do all the other stuff that he does with his athleticism, if that means that there's, you know, 15 errors or 20 errors or 18 errors or whatever it is that you got to live with, you got to live with it. You know, it's not necessarily, really, it's not necessarily a good thing, but it also, I hear all those things is just one of those situations where you just hope that he gets better. And you hope that his errors don't come at really bad times. And you hope that he gets a little smarter when it comes to making plays and chasing balls down. I mean, I can't think of a worse idea than moving him to another position. And that's the more I think about it. I mean, I guess you could move him to first. Do you really want him at first? I mean, that's the thing, City Limits. Like, I the more I've thought about this over 2 days, the more I've come to the conclusion there's only one position you can keep him at. He can play, and that's shortstop.
Unless you move him to the outfield, like a right field. And Jordy Mercer even mentioned center field. He thinks he'd be able to play center. I would hesitate with that. I think he'd have to play a corner. It would have to be right field if you do move him off the position. I would not move him to third, especially in the Diamondbacks series. We saw how difficult it is to play third base in the big leagues. And maybe it was the awful dirt in the infield in Houston. I don't know. But Ke'Bryan Hayes had like four or five different plays where he did make an error on one. It took a bad hop, whatever. And I think there was another where the ball just kind of stuck in his glove. I'm not convinced, because remember that backpedaling double play that he turned? He turned a couple other double plays. I'm not convinced that O'Neill Cruz, we're talking about the problems that he's having at shortstop. And what's more of a premier position to play defensively right now, shortstop or third base? I know more balls are hit to short, but it's the hot corner for a reason. I don't think Cruz would be able to handle it. And it's also a longer throw as well from third. So I would think it would have to be either a corner outfield or the DH spot. And Henry Davis might end up being prime for your DH spot down the road.
Well, again,
I'd stick him at short for now. I wouldn't tinker with anything. There's 2 months left in the season. If you're going to change it, it would have to be in the offseason. I just find no way that it would be a good idea for the team, and even a good idea maybe mentally to change the psyche of Cruz right now to try to do that and tinker with it right now. I just don't.
Right. I mean, I don't think there's any way you can do anything that's going to make sense.
Now, there's no doubt that there has to be better communication, and somebody has to be either in his ear or they have to practice significantly better before games in terms of throws to first. I mean, his range is okay, but I mean, the play with Reynolds is just inexcusable.
Right. Well, again, I think that's the biggest thing to
me. Did they go over dimensions in the outfield and how small left field is? Like, it's not PNC Park where you have a whole entire center field like area to roam.
Right.
So I wonder if those conversations were had, and if not, they need to on a regular basis. I mean, field dimensions have to be discussed. But at the same time, the fact that Shelton, and I know a lot of these conversations are closed door, whatever, seems visibly just kind of not content, but he didn't call out O'Neill Cruz. No. And I'm not saying you have to scream at him and completely, you know, berate him, but at least pull him over and have a conversation.
But I think if you're the manager, I mean, you also have to worry about it. He's your best player. You know what I mean? There are times when you have to, you know, do I like as a coach, especially as a manager in 162 games.
Yeah.
You have to pick your spots when you're going to confront your players. I mean, unfortunately, today's players don't necessarily respond very well to that kind of thing. Now, it seems to me that Shelton is a guy that likes to do those things behind closed doors.
And that's okay.
Yes.
But it seemed like what he was saying, at least post-game publicly, is, well, you know, he was kind of just trying to do too much and, you know, we'll learn from it. I'm not saying completely call the guy out. But, I mean, right. Some type of statement has to be made where it's public, like, you have to be better. And I wonder if those conversations were truly had.
Well, like I said, I just feel like, you know, I mean, I think if you listen to Shelton, he's one of these guys that likes to handle all that stuff in-house, behind closed doors, in the clubhouse, where nobody sees, pulls him into the office. I would be willing to bet he's had discussions with O'Neal Cruz. You know, one of the things about it is if he continues to make those kinds of mistakes, maybe he needs to sit down.
He's the worst defensive shortstop in the game. Right. Him and Ellie De La Cruz, I think, both have, like, what, 19 and 20 errors,
right,
respectively?
But, you're in a playoff chase.
I'm not saying bench him.
I'm just saying you, the time to sit him down might have been a month ago. Now, you almost have to play him. I mean, as far as what Shelton really can do is – give him a little bit of a talking to. But again, the toughest part about it is he's theoretically your best bat. I mean, obviously Reynolds has hit better.
Well, he hit very poorly in this Houston series, and that's why I would have been completely okay pulling him after that error, kind of saying, hey, like, you're all right. We believe in you. We trust in you, but just take the rest of the night off and get your head back. Get focused again.
Right, but again, he's also the guy that with one swing of the bat changes the game. So.
Yep. That's the risk you're talking about.
You have to live in there, and you have to live with that. And you also have to live with the idea that it might not work out for you. Like, he might never become a good shortstop. Like, he might not ever really become that guy that you know, everybody is hoping that he becomes with a really wide range and ability to make plays and do things that nobody else in the field can do. And, you know, be able to go deep in the hole and throw guys out. All the stuff that he's physically capable of doing, he might not ever, you know, just might not ever become that guy, which is okay. He's just got to be better than he has been. That's the biggest thing. If he's not better than he has been, then it becomes a problem because it's too important of a position defensively to be that bad at it.
Yeah, and he's got to be better at the little things.
Right.
I mean, we're not talking about huge, substantial differences. The errors might make it seem like that, but he's rushing throws, going out into the outfield. I mean, the things that were done error-wise, and he had three of them, three errors.
Right.
When Houston had four hits, four errors on the Pirates, those are correctable things. Now, it might take time. And there's always this notion, oh, well, they're a young player. I really do wonder, Paul, like, is it just me or do you find it odd that they say, well, everybody likes to say, well, they're young players. He's 25, 26 and has been playing baseball his entire life.
Yeah.
Same thing with Jack Sawinski, young player, hitting like .187, making defensive errors.
When they say young player, they mean, I mean, what?
Same thing with Henry Davis.
What, like, does Cruz have, you know, underneath his, what does he have under his belt? Maybe 160 games or something. Let's see where he has. How many games he's played? 97 this year. How many did he play last year? I mean, so he has 195.
Played like 15 games.
He has 195 games under his belt. So he does have a whole more than a full season under his belt.
Just over a full season.
He's got almost 30 is about. I mean, he almost has a season and a quarter. Almost.
Yeah.
So
at like a pace of 27 homers and about 80 RBIs.
Right. So, I mean, I think really, realistically, he needs to start getting better, especially since he's doing it every single day. It's not like he gets in, you know what I mean, and then doesn't play for a week, and he's a utility guy that plays five or six different positions, and, you know, he's a DH something. No. He's shortstop pretty much every single day.
Well, and he needs to be more consistent. And it's the same with a lot of guys on this team, like Sawinski, like Davis, like, you know, Michael A. Taylor. I mean, all the above. Consistency, and that's the hardest thing to find in baseball. But throwing to first base and not colliding with people in the outfield, those are correctable things that you can...
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like swinging at the plate and trying to become a completely better hitter. So it's correctable things that I think is encouraging.
Right.
But at the same time, it doesn't seem like really much has changed. And is the messaging stale in this regard? I don't know. Or maybe this is just who O'Neill Cruz is and we have to live with it. I think that's the ultimate answer.
Well, that's the big thing. You got Arizona coming in. And Arizona, obviously, is a team that is involved in the wild card chase, just like the Pirates. So this is a huge series. But again, I always caution you to say, you know, they could sweep this series and get swept by the Padres, and they're right where they're, you know, you just got to keep winning games.
If they can sweep one of the two teams and then take two out of three,
right,
and you take five out of six, you are in a wild card spot.
So they have now, let's see, they played them a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, and they lost two out of three.
They're a little bit different team now. They have Josh Bell on their team now, right? So I'm looking at their trade deadline, right? They also have Dylan Florio. Dylan Floro, and that's somebody they brought in. Who else did they brought in? Let's see. They were trying to get in on the Jack Flaherty suite. Could you imagine if they had got him?
Arizona?
Yeah, I
guess where he went, Dodgers.
Yeah, of course.
At the last minute.
Right. So anyway, if you look at it from there, they made a couple of moves. They brought in a couple of players. They got a pitcher, a reliever, looks like. They got another starter. They got Josh Bell. You know, they tried to make themselves better, right?
Yeah, they got A.J. Puck, the reliever.
Yeah, that's what I mean. They got a reliever. I think they got a starter, too, didn't they? And they got Josh Bell. They got like four or five players. So, you know, they basically were like the Pirates, though. They were not going to part with any of their major pieces in their farm system, but they were able to make some moves. And by all accounts, it looks like there are a lot of people that are very high on what they did and that they made themselves a little better.
They did, as well as San Diego. I mean, San Diego did a really good job at the deadline as well. They added, Luis Urias was not a deadline pickup, but they still were able to get him earlier on in the season, and he's been an incredible addition to that team. They traded a bunch of prospects for Jason Adam, the reliever.
Right.
Tanner Scott, the closer for the Marlins. They completely bolstered their bullpen. And, I mean, their bats, Tatis,
yeah,
Machado, Bogarts, I mean, just keep going on the list. Ha-Seong Kim's really good. That's a dangerous team. If you can find a way to win that series at home, because then you got to go out to San Diego. And
right. San Diego is a team that I think... because they do have so many guys who could actually play at a superstar level.
Yeah.
That if they get hot, they're a team that probably, I think, and especially they added those two, you know, the two pitchers they added and everything else. That's a team you got to be worried about.
I expect San Diego to make the playoffs. I think the Braves will get in. I think San Diego will get in.
Yeah.
I think it's more so four teams fighting for one spot. I would be stunned if San Diego drops out of this.
Now, the funny thing is I'm looking at this this guy, and he basically says that he gave the Diamondbacks a D-plus for their trade deadline. So, you know, they got, like you said, they got A.J. Puck from the Marlins. And
Josh Bell. Yeah, I mean, they did okay.
Yeah.
Again, nothing earth-shattering, especially when in your own division for Arizona, multiple teams made substantial moves.
Right.
The Giants sold off a little bit. Colorado, obviously, bottom feeders, traded a couple of guys.
Right. And I think that basically, I'm looking at this, this guy here is hard on the National League West. D-plus for them, F for the Rockies. A-minus for the Dodgers.
Yeah, when you get Jack Flaherty,
I mean,
that's like the only move they made.
What are we talking about here? The Padres got a C. I thought they did better than that. And this guy gives the Giants a D.
I think the Padres got a C because they gave up so much.
Yeah, I mean, still.
Their farm system, we won't talk about trading prospects. San Diego is not afraid of anything in terms of trading their prospects.
Right, absolutely.
They do not care. They are the complete opposite of the Pirates and others. They will trade every prospect they own.
Then you got the Cubs. He gives a C+ to the Reds, a C+. The Brewers, a C-. And the Pirates, a C. This guy's tough.
Yeah, tough grader. But C's get degrees. What did the Brewers do at the deadline?
Well, let's look at it right here. There it is. Basically, this guy's saying that the only thing that they did was trade with the Reds. That the Reds and
They did. They got Frankie Montas, the
starter.
The Reds
and the Brewers basically both get C's because the only thing they did was deal with each other.
Right, yeah, they got Frankie Montas, who's pretty good. I mean, I thought when he was signed by Cincinnati, he was going to be an important part of that team.
Right.
So, and how about the Reds? What a disappointment the Reds have been this
season. Oh, I know. They basically, and here's what I don't understand. It seemed like they were, you know, happy to be building their team together, you know, building their team. And it seemed like they were acquiring a lot of good young players. And it almost feels like now they've sort of taken it apart a little bit again. And now I'm not sure. I mean, obviously they've got L.A. De La Cruz and a couple of young guys like that, but I got a real question about it, though. You know what I mean? Like, what are they doing, the Reds?
I'm surprised, Paul, because last year the Pirates pretty much knocked this team out. Remember when the Pirates were up like 9-0 on Cincinnati?
Right.
They came back, won that game. It pretty much flattened Cincinnati, and they had a chance of making the playoffs, and they were done. Coming into this year, some people picked the Reds to win the division.
Right, right.
And they have just not been good. How about Frankie Montas this year? They paid him $17 million on a one-year contract. He's made 19 starts. He's a 5.01 ERA.
Yeah.
So Milwaukee's pretty much banking on upside because the year before that, he did not pitch. And in 2022, he had a 3.18 ERA in 104 innings. So Milwaukee's kind of eating some money, didn't really have to give up much, and hoping that he can try to find it going into the playoffs. There's also a mutual option for 25.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who knows
Absolutely.
If that'll be picked up if it's mutual. How do those mutual options work? Like, guys pitching bad as a 5 ERA, but he wants to pick it up. Teams like, no thanks. How does that work?
I don't know. That's something you need to look up and figure it out.
$1 million buyout.
You know, you got to figure it out. And I think that's the most important thing here is I look at the teams around the Pirates, and I'm probably less enamored with what they did than maybe I was on the day of the trade deadline, because I'm really kind of looking at all these the names and numbers, and I'm kind of like, okay.
St. Louis added Tommy Pham, and he immediately hit a grand slam for them, so that was fun. They added another piece, I think, too. I think they added another arm for St. Louis, I should say. Other than that, though, I mean, Arizona didn't do anything substantial. The Mets were kind of active. They got Jesse Winker.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, does Jesse Winker and Brian De La Cruz kind of cancel each other out? I think so.
Yeah.
Winker's having a better season statistically at this point. I think De La Cruz. I also wonder if morale and obviously the type of ballpark you play in has a factor in it. I think PNC Park is a more hitter-friendly park for De La Cruz than Miami is. Not by much. I'm not saying that PNC Park is a hitter-friendly park.
Right.
It's not.
But left field is tough.
Yeah, Miami's a big ballpark.
Left field is tough. If you look at left field at PNC Park, I mean, if you don't hit it down the line,
that's tough.
It's a long way to hit the ball. I mean, there's a lot of balls that die in that gap whatever we call it.
Not like those Crawford boxes out in Houston.
Yeah.
Where the Pirates hit towering home runs over.
That's the big thing. Time is 10:31, brought to you by Gina Giampietro of RE/MAX Select Realty. 93.7 The Fan is your station for complete training camp coverage. Presented by Smail Kia and brought to you by Guardian Caps and Armstrong Business Solutions. Coming up, we'll talk a little bit of football. Then we've got Everybody Loves Raymond coming on. I think he's at 11, correct?
That's right.
All right, so we'll talk some football. Then we'll talk some football with Ray. It's Paul's Ice. It's 93.7 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
By the way, did you watch the men, the 3-on-3? I think they had another game after the, you know, yesterday afternoon.
Did they lose again?
Yeah, I think they did. But I'm looking up here. Is this soccer? What is
this? Yes, soccer. It's USA versus, I think, Morocco.
Morocco?
Yeah, they're losing. The quarterfinals.
And again, here's what I'm going to tell you. I don't know anything about who's ranked where in soccer. Okay? So I'm going to start with that premise, right? Is Morocco a team that the United States is supposed to lose to?
No, I would think not.
I'm just wondering, like...
I would think not,
you know,
no.
I mean, it just doesn't feel like a country that should beat us in soccer. But by the same token, listen, I'm being very hypocritical, because a few weeks ago I said, anytime we beat anybody, it's an upset, right? I mean, we shouldn't beat anybody.
Well, and I think that, I don't even think that they made the Olympics the last couple years.
Yeah.
Right?
Here we go. I mean, United States square off. This is what it is. Morocco, which are making their fifth Olympic appearance since 92. So you're right. They don't make it all the time.
Well, I'm talking about the U.S.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
they hadn't made it since 2008.
Actually, in here, the Americans are plus 220 underdogs.
Against Morocco.
Against
okay.
Morocco.
I think it's the under 23 team, right?
Yeah.
That's playing in this game.
Oh, this isn't the main soccer game?
Well, I would think Christian Pulisic and a lot of those guys would be playing in it.
Yeah.
Now, again, my psyche on soccer is not as strong as many others as might be, but.
Yeah. Well, it says it's the U.S. men's national team. So, I don't know what I mean again. this looks like this is the real deal in the Olympics. Why you should pick Morocco? Many of the teams competing in the Summer Games have underwhelmed since their rosters are predominantly made up of U23 players.
There you go.
Morocco isn't one of them.
Huh. Maybe it's a preference thing. And again, another guy is down for Morocco. He took a small little tumble. That's my thing about soccer. The guy literally got, like, kind of pushed to the ground, and he's on the ground in pain for 20 seconds.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Like, what are you trying to sell here?
Well, nevertheless, this is similar to the three-on-three thing. We don't have our best and brightest here. Why is that? Why do we have so many U-23s here?
Well, I don't think Messi and Ronaldo are playing in the Olympics
either, are they? What are we doing here?
Is the World Cup more important than the Olympics?
Yeah, but that's not for two
soccer?
More years, I think, right?
Yeah, I wonder if that's the case. And I mean, again, is the World Cup is like basically the Super Bowl of soccer?
Right, it absolutely is. I'm just saying, why are we not sending our World Cup team here? Anyway, I'm telling you this much right now, again, outside of Simone Biles and our women's basketball team, and I guess our men's basketball team,
swimming.
We've had some good things happen in swimming too. You're
correct. We do very well in swimming. Australia is also.
But it feels like every day we're sitting here, I look up
and someone's losing.
And someone's getting one of our teams is getting destroyed. I mean, 3-0 in soccer is like 35-0 in football.
Over. I think for them getting to the quarterfinals, though, after not making the Olympics in the prior, 12, 16, 23 games?
Wait,
it's got to be a little bit of an achievement for an under-23 team.
Here's the other thing. I didn't realize this. Like I said, it's just anecdotally, every time I look up, one of our teams is not doing very well. We're leaders in medals. We have 40 medals.
Yeah, that happens a lot. And that should be the expectation, to be the leader in medals.
Now, do you think that we should grade it as to who has the most medals or who has the most gold medals?
I think it should be the most medals.
Well,
but gold should obviously be a category that sticks out the most.
Because here's the thing. I mean, you know, if you have as big of teams where, you know, we field a team in pretty much every sport. Not every country does that.
It's fair.
So, I mean, I do agree with you. Total medals should matter.
But when they list it on like a chart, it goes by gold.
But China
has the most gold.
They have the most gold medals. But we have, you know, by far the most silver, and we have the most bronze. Do you know who is second currently right now in total medals?
I'll say Canada, even though I think I'm wrong. Is it France?
France.
Okay, France.
The host country. They have the second most medals, and then third is, of course, China.
Canada's probably not even close.
Right. All right, Canada is, let's see, 2, 4, 6, ninth.
Ninth, okay. So that's cool. France, the host country, is second, and the U.S., who hosts the Olympics next, is first.
Right. Here's a whole lot of countries with only one. Serbia, Slovenia, Argentina, Tunisia, Mongolia, Fiji, Portugal, Egypt, Tajikistan.
Never heard of them.
Never heard of that. I'm assuming that's somewhere, in the Middle East?
Yeah.
Slovakia and Austria, all one-hit wonders so far.
Some countries only send, four or five
that's
athletes.
That's what I mean, yeah. What medal, what sport do you think Tajikistan won a medal in?
Your guess is as good as mine.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? See, it's a country in Central Asia surrounded by Afghanistan, China. There you have it. Exactly where we thought it was at. And a little bit further from the Middle East, however. A little bit further, what is that, west? East?
Yeah.
I guess we're going west or east? West. Yeah,
you're challenging my geography, Paul.
No, you're going east. East, a little bit east. I think, yes, you're going from the Middle East, you're going east to get to Tajikistan. It's like actually, what would we call that? A little slightly northeast is what we would call it from the Middle East.
Sean Myers and I were talking about this last week on Sunday. What sport do you like to watch the most at the Olympics?
Well, I mean, I think the one that's been the most entertaining in this Olympics was rugby. You know, the women's rugby. The women's
rugby. They're crushing each other out there.
Exactly.
I like watching basketball the most, and then swimming and gymnastics. Those are my top three.
Right. I don't like the gymnastics as much. I don't know. Here's the thing. Any of the sports that is judged, I watch it. It all looks the same to me. Like, okay, this, what does she do better than this one? Or what, you know what I mean? What did she do different than this one? Just like the other day when we were sitting there watching surfing, you know, they float in the water. Then the wave comes, they get up on the board, they surf it down, and then they just kind of stop.
How about surfing's like 1,000 miles away from Paris this year?
Right.
It's like, how about L.A.? Softball will be played in Oklahoma City. You can't play the softball games in L.A. or Anaheim or San Jose, Oklahoma City. Not saying it's a bad place, but why Oklahoma City?
Yeah,
a little odd.
Yeah, I mean, I think they find certain places that have the right facilities. I'm sure there are other facilities, right? But isn't surfing taking place in like Fiji? Isn't that where it is? Or it's in some island like that somewhere? Tahiti. I think it's in Tahiti.
I think it might be.
They're doing it in Tahiti. But have you watched the surfing?
Barely.
Here's what they do. You want to talk about the dumbest sport to put on TV, or at least the least interesting sport to put on TV, right? So they swim them out. Two at a time. Then they put a 30-minute clock. 30-minute, not second. 30-minute clock. And they sit there and they float and float and float and wait till the right wave comes.
Got to make sure the waves are right.
But that's what I mean. Like, when I watched it the other day, the first guy did not go until there were 18 minutes left on the clock, which meant we watched a guy floating in the ocean or whatever it is for 12 minutes, just floating there.
That is one that is so dependent on nature compared to any other sport, surfing. The only other thing I could think of is, what event was it? Was it the triathlon? It was something where they had to make sure that the water quality was not perfect, but of good nature, where the swimmers could swim in the giant river. Paris.
Right. That was, and then I saw that they actually let them swim the other day in that river. The triathletes, didn't they?
They did.
Yes.
But they basically pushed it off for a couple of days because the water quality wasn't good enough. And they said France spent like $1 billion on the water quality.
To try and clean the river. How bad is that?
How much would they have to spend to clean the Allegheny, the Maw, and the Ohio?
$1.4 million, or $1.4 billion, I think, is what it cost them to try and clean the river, and they couldn't have the thing for the first few days because there was an E. coli alert. That is just so foul.
I wonder if all the Olympic boats also going through that same river. I think it was the same river for the opening ceremony. Caused any issues too?
Yeah. That's just so foul.
We do have a tweet in from Bobby that says that softball is in Oklahoma because of the Softball World Series Stadium. I knew it was like around that area, but still, like, you'd rather have it there than in the actual location of the Olympics.
Here we go. Someone sent this. Basically, the FIFA rules for the world for soccer restricted participation of elite players. There's your answer. So this is currently squads for the men's tournament are required to be composed of players under 23 years of age with three permitted exceptions. So you're allowed to basically have three guys that are real. Now, the women's soccer is full participation, which is why you have the Women's World Cup team is also the soccer team. See, we learned something. One of our listeners was listening to us babble along about why soccer doesn't allow the full team.
So the men's team, say that again, the men's team, you'll have three restrictions where you can
avoid competition with the World Cup. FIFA has restricted participation of elite players in the men's tournament in various ways. Currently, squads for the men's tournament are required to be composed of players under 23 years of age with three permitted exceptions.
Makes sense. So I called it the World Cup, the Super Bowl, pretty much.
That's what they're doing here.
So is the Olympics the Pro Bowl?
But by the same token, here's the other thing, though. By the same token, Why is Morocco, here we go, many of the teams competing in the summer games have underwhelmed since their rosters are predominantly made up of U23 players. Morocco, who have been coming up in the international soccer in recent years, isn't one of them. Oh, okay, I read that wrong. I thought, well, wait, why are they allowed to use more players? But it's not. What they're saying is Morocco's young players,
those are the good players,
are really good, and they're better than the young players of a lot of other teams.
Texter says that, what is it? Just call it Tajikistan?
It's in Central Asia.
They won bronze in judo, is what a Texter said.
There you go.
In judo.
Yes. The judo. I didn't even know that was an Olympic sport.
Yeah.
You know, that's always a fun thing.
Judo, boxing. There's the big controversy in boxing right now.
Yeah, that's the funny thing about the Olympics. Like, you could ask me 15 sports. Is it an Olympic sport or not? And I probably wouldn't know all of them. Because somebody told me, is there some kind of dance as an Olympic sport?
Yes, breaking.
What?
All right, Paul, let's go over all of it.
Wait, break dancing is an Olympic sport?
Let's go over all of this. We'll go over all the Olympic sports. We have about 5 minutes before we got to hit the break for Ray.
Okay, go ahead.
Is archery an Olympic sport?
Yes, absolutely. Right?
Yes.
Okay. Absolutely an Olympic sport.
Is badminton an Olympic sport?
No. No.
Badminton is an Olympic sport.
It is? Yes. Badminton is an Olympic sport? Oh, my goodness. All right. I'm 1-1.
Are baseball and softball an Olympic sport?
I want to say baseball is and softball isn't.
No, they both will be returning to the Olympics in 2028.
So neither of them are
Neither of them are Olympic sports right now. Once were, and then they're coming back.
So I'm 2-2. Go ahead.
We know basketball 3-on-3 is.
Right.
Artistic gymnastics.
That sounds so absolutely stupid, it has to be, right? That's the only place that they would
do. Artistic gymnastics.
Okay, that's
an Olympic sport.
That sounds like something they would put in the Olympics. Go ahead. Who?
There's also artistic swimming. Is
wait, artistic, what is it? What was it? Swim dancing. Remember, what was that called? Synchronized swimming.
Yeah. Is that artistic swimming?
Is that the same? Is artistic swimming and synchronized swimming the same? I don't know.
I don't think so.
Or are they different?
Is cricket an Olympic sport?
There's no way it's an Olympic sport.
Well, according to Olympics.com, cricket is an Olympic sport.
Really?
I don't think they're playing cricket, though, in the Olympics. Are they? I haven't seen any.
There we go.
Is cycling an Olympic sport?
Yeah, it has to be. They'd have to have something. On a bicycle, right?
What about rowing? Is rowing an Olympic sport?
You know, the only reason I know that it is because it was on yesterday. Yes.
Yes. And I think somebody from Central is on the rowing team.
Yes.
Is trampoline an Olympic sport?
No. No.
Paul, turn around. Trampoline is an Olympic sport. It's on the TV right behind you.
What are we doing here? What are we even doing here?
It's been on for 20 minutes.
I thought it was gymnastics.
Trampolining.
This is different than gymnastics.
It's different. Completely different.
So are these people not considered members of the gymnastics team?
I think they're on the trampoline team. I don't know if they are a part of gymnastics or if they are a separate entity.
Let's see. Here's my thing. How in the world? That doesn't look like anything different than you probably the next person's going to do. How do you judge that? I guess
by the number of flips that you do.
Yeah. I mean, look at this. She's like jumping up and I'd be sick in my stomach jumping up and down like that.
Paul, is handball an Olympic sport?
Yes, team handball.
Yes, handball is an Olympic sport.
Team handball, yes.
Shout out my guy Mitch for bringing that one up to the equation.
Yes.
Is water polo an Olympic sport?
Yeah, we were watching it yesterday.
What about wrestling?
No.
Wrestling is an Olympic sport.
Wow.
We know golf. What about table tennis? Is table tennis an Olympic sport?
Ping pong is not an Olympic sport.
Ping pong is an Olympic sport.
Oh, my goodness. Really?
Claps for table tennis. Is tennis an Olympic sport?
I think it used to be. But no, I don't think it is anymore.
Tennis is still an Olympic sport.
Oh, my goodness.
Coco Gauff was in tennis.
Oh, that's...
That was the flag bearer for the U.S.
That's right. I forgot. I was thinking of her playing in Wimbledon or wherever she was at.
And finally, is the canoe sprint an Olympic sport?
See, again, that sounds so stupid, it has to be.
Canoe sprint is an Olympic sport.
So what, you get in a canoe and you bet?
And you sprint.
Is it like 50 meters or something, or 100 meters or 25 meters?
It must be. And it must be.
Canoe sprint.
Canoe sprint.
Someone just tweeted that artistic gymnastics is what Simone Biles does. So what was the other kind of gymnastics?
Yeah, I got that tweet too. Artistic gymnastics is the proper term for Simone Biles type gymnastics is what somebody said.
Is there another? What was the one? Remember the one where they had the ribbons and all that nonsense? Remember that gymnastics in the Olympics?
I think I'm.
Do they still do that?
Is that rhythmic? Is that artistic gymnastics?
No. Artistic is guy's saying that's Simone Biles' kind of gymnastics.
I thought that was just blanketed gymnastics, and we look like idiots for not knowing that. But
so that wasn't what was the one where? Remember they had? Let's see. Was it called rhythmic?
There's rhythmic gymnastics, and there's artistic gymnastics. So that makes sense. So that would be Thanks to the texters and the tweeters that sent that. That makes a lot of sense that type of gymnastics is specified instead of just...
Rhythmic gymnastics is actually still a sport in the Olympics.
Yes. So artistic gymnastics, that makes some sense now. Okay. That artistic gymnastics is the type that Simone Biles does. Is that like on the balance beam and on the horse, all the above. That makes a lot of sense now. Thank you for the texters.
Yeah.
You learn something new every day.
We've learned a lot about the Olympics today, right?
I think we've learned a lot. And thank you to the texters and tweeters that took part.
Steeler Camp Reaction brought to you by Bet365.
Somebody keeps blowing up the text line wanting us to talk about the big conundrum and the big conflict right now in boxing. Did you see that? The 45-second fight?
Nah, you know, we'll let Colin.
We'll let KDKA take care of
that. We'll let Colin Dunlap handle that one. We're just going to have fun on this show today.
I'm sure Colin will be talking about that for a while.
He did last night. I think he did yesterday. Yeah, we'll let him handle it.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.